Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
We have a day filled with energy and
a different variety. Yeah, the quest continues for renewable, affordable, all those good things.
And also the energy it takes to do some of the things that you're going to be talking about with guests a little later in the show,
exactly.
Too. So we have an energetic morning planned for you. Stay right here for all the conversation. Now, you know, for the past couple of years, we've understood that Hawaii would have to go through a transition to get to the clean energy production that policymakers and politicians are always talking about. That movement from the state's extreme dependence on oil to a cheaper interim alternative often includes the discussion of liquid natural gas. It's the transitional hope for both HECO and Hawaii Gas. Both are pursuing separate plans. So for an update on where Hawaii is now with LNG, we asked John Cole of the Hawaii Natural Energy Institute to drop by our studio, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Now, when you look out, and you've done the study on LNG that was about a year ago, and also looked at where the, where it fits in the transitional plan among all the things that are in the portfolio for our transition into renewables, what do you see right now as we're in March of 2014?
The biggest thing I see is a potential for savings for consumers on their electricity bills. But, I mean, we have to overcome several things in order to get there. I mean, there is, the plan and exactly how it's going to work. You know, which company or what method will it be brought into the state? And I know, the HECO companies and Hawaii Gas are looking at different things, but I also think they are working together and hopefully may work something out to do it together. But there are various options.
What about the option of another company entirely, a third party?
No, that's definitely an option. I know a year or two ago, there was interest from outside, companies to come in and invest in the infrastructure and recover it over time as they bring the fuel into the state. So that's definitely a possibility as well.
Would it be fair to say that right now you see that there are a number of hurdles that we still have to surmount, and yet there are all these plans happening in tandem?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely siting, if we're going to bring it in, where is it going to come in? I mean, I know HECO is looking at Pearl Harbor and talking to the Navy about that possibility. They're looking at Kalailoa Harbor. Hawaii Gas is, I think they've already started bringing in some ISO containers or will be soon. And they would like to also look at building a storage facility and bring it in. So siting is a big one. And then just the structure, like I said, who is going to do it? Will it be Hawaii Gas bringing it in? And, selling it to HECO, will there be some kind of joint arrangement or another third party that we don't know who is yet come in and, provide that service?
The only two that we do know that you're talking about with HECO and with Hawaii Gas, is there a downside to the fact that they're both sort of running these programs or trying to develop their own plans separately?
I mean, there could be if they end up at cross purposes, but I think in the initial stages, they were each looking at ways that they could do it on their own business side, Hawaii Gas in particular, and HECO for its generation. But they didn't, my understanding is, not want to wait for Hawaii Gas to solve everything, but wanted to start looking at issues like converting units and, possible siting and things like that. But I think they are, talking to each other and trying to coordinate their efforts to some extent now. So hopefully, that will work out.
The time horizon is always a focus for a lot of people who see a bill coming in every month that's getting higher and higher, or they're still paying the same high rates that they've been paying for a while, and they're chafed over that one. The promise of a way of doing that at a cheaper price point is very attractive, but the time horizon is always an issue. With liquid natural gas, how quickly do you think that we could make a conversion, even though we know that there's so much that depends on so many other things, but in terms of the raw time to convert, for example, some of the refineries into storage facilities?
Yeah, I think some of the conversion should be able to happen fairly quickly. I know with the HECO generating units, if they use those units and just convert them to use liquefied natural gas or natural gas as the fuel, it's not a prohibitively expensive or time consuming. I think they need to switch out burners. So, I mean, that could happen in a fairly quick time period. But as far as the structure, siting, and regulatory issues, that could take longer. So I see that as more of what we need to figure out, you know, other than the technological aspects of making the switch.
But technologically, when you say it could happen in fairly quick order, what does that mean? Is that a year? Is that 2 years?
I don't know. I would think it, the conversion of current HECO units would be a year or less. But I don't know for sure.
But when you look at the regulatory part of that, that's where a lot of the big question marks are. We don't know what may happen with the PUC and if the Public Utilities Commission changes in how it operates, how that may affect its dockets, how that may affect what it takes on, how it takes on additional regulatory abilities that could possibly play into what may happen with liquid natural gas is still a big question mark.
No, that's definitely a question. I'm not even, with the current composition, I'm not even sure exactly how they're looking at, you know, the regulatory structure for LNG. And if there's changes soon that could, you know, put things on hold or change things even further as far as timing goes.
So to mitigate the, you know, the response to this, oh, it'll be cheaper and let's go do it, which is how we've sort of been hearing about many things, including a great many renewables. Your point seems to be that you need to really look at this as being maybe a 3 or 5 year plan?
I would think so in total, you know, to get the amount here that will help save consumers the numbers that have been talked about, you know, in the 30-40% range on electricity rates. But it has to be kept in mind, all these assumptions are based on, you know, pricing forecasts. And, you know, whether those are accurate, it remains to be seen. The prices on the mainland, which would be the cheapest place to get the LNG from, have been fairly stable. But there's also been spikes even recently. And with the cold weather in January, February, the price spiked up, you know, $2-3 per million BTUs. So, I mean, that will definitely take away from any savings that consumers here would benefit from.
That might also be mitigated in some part by the fact that on the mainland they can move things around in a way that we can't. So that could potentially mean that we might have not as cheap a deal as we think we might get with liquid natural gas if we had a situation where we had to bring more of it from one area to another area.
No, very true. I mean, they have a system of pipelines there, and they can push it around pretty well. Part of the problem in recent months with the cold weather is not being able to move it around fast enough. But here, I mean, we have ships that would carry it across the sea, so we're very limited in that regard. And, you know, anything that does happen may be 2 years out. And, you know, if the prices rise enough, the savings may not, you know, materialize to the extent that we're looking at now.
So, John, does this really need not to be a conversation so much about money as simply just necessity for moving on?
I think so. I mean, a main benefit would be savings, but even if the savings don't materialize to the extent that we would hope, I mean, it's going to benefit Hawaii in its transition to renewables, since, you know, using natural gas makes electricity generation much more flexible and able to match the intermittent renewable resources that we've been taking on a lot of.
All right, we're going to leave it there for the moment. We'll be watching what happens, and thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
John Cole joined the Hawaii Natural Energy Institute in 2012. He oversees various projects, including a study assessing the possible importation of LNG into Hawaii. The latest presentation on a renewable portfolio standard for Hawaii is on Facebook at Hawaii Conversation. And now at 8:14, it's time for your daily backyard quiz.
O Mau, o Kaho'olawe, o Hawaii.